Chapter 5.
What's wrong, Carter?
Becca's voice finally broke me out of my racing thoughts.
You look like you've just seen a ghost.
Oh, it's nothing. It's just the artists I had booked for the lounge next week and are saying they're going to have to cancel, so I have to find somebody to fill in on a really, really short notice.
Just don't get too crazy.
The platinum blonde woman winked.
We only have $500 per night for band expenses.
Well, damn. I suppose that means Skrillex is out then, huh?
As if that'd even be an option. The day somebody that famous sets foot in your lounge is the day you really know you made it.
Becca finished off her drink, stretched as she let out a yawn, and then took a step away from the table.
Heading out already?
Naomi asked with a raised eyebrow.
The night's still young.
It's 2:43. How much later do you plan to stay up?
For as long as I'm still having a good time.
Naomi raised her high top glass in a mock toast, and then she gulped the rest of it down.
You guys are crazy.
Becca rolled her eyes and shot us a wave.
Toodles! I'll see you later this afternoon to go over some of our HR stuff, okay?
I can't wait, I said in a bitingly sarcastic tone.
Tell me if you hear from Val!
Leah called out to her bestie.
I'm really starting to worry about her. Chill out, Leah.
Becca teased.
Valerie is supposed to be the high-strung one, remember? Just please let me know.
The polywarm woman asked again.
I tried her phone again, but it's still off. Yeah.
Becca said with a wave of her hand.
I'm telling you, though, she's probably just asleep, and you'll get a text from her first thing in the morning. Let's hope so.
Leah frowned.
So...
Naomi drawled with a smirk the second Becca was out of earshot.
What's really wrong? I've seen that look before, and there's no way it's because you don't know who's going to be playing on the stage next week.
Potentially bad news, I said as I flipped my phone around for Leah and Naomi to see. It sounds like Dr. Hansen might have more than just a sneaking suspicion about my true identity. Leah and Naomi's eyes squinted as they read over the screenshot Janine had sent, and then they both expressed quite different emotions. The corners of Naomi's mouth twisted into a broad smile as she clicked her tongue and shook her head with an amused chuckle. But Leah, on the other hand, looked like she was about to be sick. The blonde woman's blue eyes were wide as her mouth fell open in a silent gasp, and she crossed her arms across her chest before she leaned back and frowned.
Definitely bad news.
Leah gulped. Not necessarily. I shrugged. Maybe he just wants to talk to her about her thesis or something.
Carter.
Leah trailed off.
He literally says he thinks she's in danger because she's your girlfriend. I'm pretty sure I know what he's hinting at.
I always kind of assumed he knew. I mean, he's the foremost expert on paranormal archaeology in this part of the world. If he didn't at least suspect I was a werepanther, he'd be really shitty at his job.
He could think you're a serial killer. Or mentally abusive, or even wanted by the mafia. Hansen didn't exactly say why he thinks Janine is in danger after all.
Come on. I rolled my eyes. I'm usually not one to jump to conclusions, but it's pretty obvious he's talking about my other half. The only question is, why now? If he already knew my secret, then why wouldn't he have told Janine a long time ago?
Probably testing his hypothesis. I know it takes me weeks, sometimes even months, to actually prove or disprove some of my ideas.
Leah. You're talking like a scientist.
What's wrong with that? I am a scientist.
But Hansen's an archaeologist. I took a lot of classes with those kinds of people when I was still in school, and they don't think like scientists at all. They only come to a conclusion after they've meticulously researched and thought about something in a million different ways first. If Hansen really does know I'm a werepanther, it's because he has all the evidence he needs to confidently make that accusation.
What are you going to do about it?
Naomi asked as she leaned forward against the table.
Are you going to...
The witch dragged her index finger across her throat and made a squelching sound. No! I'm not going to kill Dr. Hansen, jeez! What I'm going to do is go along with Janine and use my superhuman hearing to eavesdrop on their conversation. Once I know how much he actually knows, then I can figure out how much I should be worried. And if I actually need to do anything about it. With that decided, I pulled out my phone and responded to Janine's text with a simple message. You should talk to him later this morning, before you go to class. My phone let out a short ping as I hit the send button, and then I slid my cell phone back into the pocket of my jeans.
We should probably get going, too,
Leah suggested as she looked around.
I know you own the place, but we don't want to be those annoying customers who hang around for an hour after closing. You know, the ones who keep all the employees from going home.
It sounds like I need to get some sleep, too. I grumbled as I cracked my neck and stretched my arms out over my head. If I'm going to go along with Janine to this meeting, I think I've got about 5 hours of sleep I could sneak in, tops.
As long as you're driving.
Naomi said as she took a few stumbling steps.
I'm completely trashed.
Didn't you say you can cure hangovers with your magic? I thought that...
Before the blonde woman could finish her sentence, Naomi leaned over and placed her index and middle fingers vertically against Leah's lips. Then the witch made a long, drunken... sound before she pulled away and winked playfully. I was going to drive anyway. Come on, let's get in the Hummer. Leah, Naomi, and I all bid farewell to our closing employees. Before we headed out to the back door and found the large yellow Hummer, I'd kind of adopted as my new primary vehicle. We all hopped in, and I brought the Hummer roaring to life with a turn of the key and a soft press on the gas pedal. Then I pulled us out of the parking spot and rolled past the attendance booth. Paul was grumpily looking down at his desk as he gathered up his things, which I assumed meant he was done for the night as well. I gave our friend a quick honk of the horn as we passed by, and he must have jumped 5 feet in the air.
Damn it, Carter!
Paul huffed as we rolled past him.
You're gonna give me a heart attack!
I was just being friendly. I laughed to Leah and Naomi, who shared in my amusement. We drove down the sleepy streets of Cincinnati for a little while longer, before we finally arrived at Ada's nightclub. And the instant I parked the Hummer and killed the engine, Naomi and Leah were out of the vehicle and heading for the entrance. I was sure they were both exhausted from our long night, and probably wanted to get a bit of shut-eye. I was right there, too. Between the battle with the Lizoids and the emotional stress of Val finding out my secret, and the intense sex I'd had with Leah, I feel like I could conk out right there at the parking lot. Still, I stayed awake long enough to go inside and proceed up the staircase to the living quarters of the building. But when we got to the second floor, we were greeted by an overly peppy Ada.
There you are, love,
the succubus proclaimed.
I was hoping you'd be back soon, mainly because nowadays I'm struggling to sleep without you.
How sweet,
Naomi teased.
We can't all just drink our nights away until we pass out,
Ada said with a sly waggle of her eyebrows.
I have no idea what she could possibly even mean.
Naomi shrugged, before she summoned her silver magic around her right hand. We watched as the witch placed it right up against the temple of her head, and then surrounded it with the enchantment. Seconds later, the spell ceased, and Naomi shook her head frantically like a wet dog trying to shake off water. You all right? I asked with a raise of my eyebrows.
I am now,
Naomi said as she stuck out her tongue at Ada.
See? Good as new. Now I can sleep tonight without the influence of alcohol whatsoever. I was not trying to judge.
Ada smirked.
I was simply being a bit feisty, that's all.
What else is new?
Naomi winked and then she let out a large yawn.
Now, I'd love to keep chatting, but I feel like I need to crash for the day.
Is Janine in bed? I asked the succubus. She sent me a text about half an hour ago, so I didn't know what was going on.
I believe she's asleep by now. And I'll be coming to bed shortly, too.
Good night, Carter,
Naomi declared as she hustled past me and toward her bedroom down the hall. Don't stay up too late, I said to Ada, and then I turned toward the bedroom. I took about 5 steps before I realized neither Leah nor Ada were following me, so I turned back and tilted my head.
Hold on,
Leah said as she tapped away on her phone and then hit a button which made a pinging noise.
There. I just wanted to send a message to Val, in case she didn't get any of the other ones.
Any of the 12,000 you've already sent? I teased, but the blonde woman's face remained twisted into a frown. It'll be okay, Leah. If you haven't heard anything back from Val by morning, why don't you and Ada and Naomi go looking for her?
Has something happened to dear Valerie?
I don't think so. I shook my head. She's probably just mad at us because, well, she knows.
She knows what?
Ada asked, but then her emerald eyes grew to the size of saucers.
Oh, she knows.
Yeah, and she's not too happy that Leah lied to her about being a polywarm either.
Well, if it's simply a case of anger, I would bet she'll be fine by morning. By this time tomorrow, you and Valerie will be back to normal for sure.
I don't care if she's mad at me. I just want to make sure she's safe.
Is there a reason she wouldn't be?
Ada asked with a confused look.
That newt guy is still out there,
the blonde said, and then quickly brought the succubus up to speed.
Plus, it's just weird that she hasn't texted or called Becca either. We always let each other know when we've made it home safely, especially after a night out on the town where we inadvertently get separated.
I'll go with you to look for her, love,
Ada said as she placed her hand on Leah's shoulder.
I am sure she's okay, but if it brings you peace of mind to look for a body...
Fuck Ada! We don't think she's dead or anything. I'm pretty sure Leah just wants to, like, check her dorm room and her classes and shit like that.
Oh! Even better.
But we're not gonna be doing anything if we don't get some sleep first. I don't really want to sleep in until noon. Leah came over to me, and then the two of us headed to the bedroom. Sure enough, Janine was already sprawled underneath the red sheets and completely zonked out, so we both tried to be as gentle and as quiet as possible as we stripped down to our skivvies and then crawled into bed. I positioned myself right behind Janine and wrapped my arms around her waist from behind, which caused the drowsy woman to let out a soft, satisfied... Leah's scantily clad body pressed up against my bare back as she gave me a goodnight kiss on the neck, and then she nuzzled up to my body. Soon my eyes grew heavy and the world went black. The next thing I knew, a pair of hands gently grabbed my shoulders and rocked my body back and forth slowly. And as my eyes opened up, I was met with the smiling face of Janine, who was already out of bed and fully dressed. The beautiful redhead had on a simple black pullover with the words, University of Cincinnati, written across the front in large red block letters. Even though the shirt covered up her arms and her cleavage, it only came down to just above her belly button, which left her perfectly toned midriff completely exposed. Meanwhile, Janine had her bright red locks pulled back in a simple ponytail, and she had on the same style of ripped, skin-tight jeans she usually wore.
Good morning,
Janine said with a smile, but her chocolate-colored eyes glistened with concern behind her thick, rectangular lenses.
You ready to come to campus with me?
What? I asked in a haze, but then I snapped to attention. Oh, shit! You're meeting with Hansen. What time is it? I'm not late, am I?
Not in the slightest.
Janine shook her head.
Besides, it's not like this is a formal meeting or anything. He's meeting with me so he can warn me about how big, bad, and dangerous you are. And he wants to be discreet. I mean, he did try his damnedest to be vague in his email.
So you think he knows?
I figured it out.
Janine said with a shrug.
So I totally figured he would find out eventually, too. It's no big deal, though. I'll just walk in there, play the role of the dumb student, and then we can figure out what to do from there.
Sounds like a plan. I nodded as I tossed off the covers and sat up. Where's everyone else?
Leah already rounded them up and headed off to campus. They left about 30 minutes ago.
Shit, she's determined, I said, as I slid out of bed and walked over to our closet. I assume that means she never got a text from Val.
You'd be assuming correctly.
The redhead nodded.
What exactly happened last night? Leah said Val saw you two fighting a bunch of Lizoids?
Pretty much, I said, and then I took a minute to explain the whole story to Janine.
Damn.
She sighed when I was done.
Now I'm kind of worried about her, too.
What do you mean? You don't think she's just mad at Leah and blowing her off?
That doesn't sound like Val.
Janine pursed her lips.
At least not the one we know. Then again, I suppose Leah would be the best judge of character in that case.
I'm sure they'll find her, I repeated, though now I was starting to wonder myself. We have a doctor to deal with in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Don't sound so excited. I joked as I pulled out a navy blue quarter zip from the closet and tugged it over my head. Then I grabbed a pair of boxer briefs and matching black socks and changed into them. And to complete my attire for the day, I picked up one of my pairs of tailored khaki pants and pulled them over my lower half. Finally, I slipped on my tan and brown loafers, and then I was good to go. Janine and I exited the nightclub and walked out to her old Pontiac Grand Prix. She slid into the driver's seat, turned the car on, and then pulled us out of the parking lot. The car ride started off in silence, though once we got about halfway to UC, the redhead spoke up.
I wouldn't worry about this too much. Honestly, I'd be shocked if it wasn't anything more than a simple, your boyfriend is a werepanther, so you'd better watch out, kind
of
talk.
See, you say simple, as if lots of professors have this kind of talk with their students.
When it comes to paranormal archaeology, you pretty much have to expect the conversations are gonna go weird places. In fact, it'd be a pretty lame field if they didn't.
I'm still trying to figure out why he told you last night, I pondered aloud, and why he thought it was so urgent he needed to send an email at 2 a.m.
I suppose we'll find out soon.
Janine shrugged as she stared off into the distance.
I'm just going back and forth between whether I should act like I don't believe him or if I should really take control of the situation and admit I've always known.
That depends on the nature of the conversation. So, like, if he's telling you all this because he wants your help to kill me, in that case, I don't think it would be smart to say you know about me and don't care.
Hansen's pretty harmless.
The redhead waved her hand dismissively.
His brain is his greatest weapon, but even the biggest brain in the world isn't going to do much good against someone like you or Naomi or even Leah.
Or you, I winked. You're just as smart as he is, if not more so, and you've got luck on your side.
Stop it.
Janine rolled her eyes.
You're gonna make me blush.
I'm serious. You've gotten us out of so many pickles with that brain of yours, Janine. If you ask me, I think the student has more than become the master.
And if you ask me...
The redhead trailed off.
I think you're underestimating just how smart Hansen really is. This guy might seem like an eccentric goofball, but he's got shit going on in his head that even Stephen Hawking couldn't understand.
All the more reason to make sure he's not going to be a major nuisance. I nodded. Janine drove on until we finally arrived at the University of Cincinnati, where I was instantly hit with a twinge of nostalgia. I didn't regret dropping out of school to start my own business empire, but at the same time, I couldn't help but miss the rush of a student's life. Late-night study sessions, parties at the frat house, trying to figure out your different professors and the bare minimum you could get away with in their classes, and even the social ambiance of the campus itself were all things I kind of missed. Still, I had my connection to campus thanks to my friends. Janine pulled us into a parking spot close to the building that housed Dr. Hansen's office, and then we hurried out of the vehicle and toward the old decaying structure. As we walked, I noticed several large chunks of concrete in varying sizes and shapes had fallen off the sides of the building, and just about every piece of metal on the outside was rusted to the point where it would break if someone looked at it wrong. Even the door of the building was in a state of disrepair, as it got stuck about a quarter of the way, and Janine had to use every ounce of her strength to get it open. We headed down to the lowest level of the building, where we saw the dingy, poorly lit hallways that led to Hansen's office, and then we made our way to the professor's door. But when we got about 10 feet away, Janine stopped in her tracks and looked me dead in the eyes.
I've got this, okay?
She half asked, half said.
No matter what you hear Dr. Hansen say, don't enter that room. That'll only make things more complicated.
I'll keep my distance, I promised, and then I stepped back a few more feet around a corner so I was out of sight. Janine strode up to her mentor's door before she took a deep breath, reached up and rapped 3 times. A few seconds later, the door opened up, and I heard Hansen's jolly voice.
Janine!
Hi, Dr. Hansen!
My girlfriend greeted him back. The professor looked both ways to see if the coast was clear, and I was forced to duck behind the corner of the hallway so I wouldn't be seen. Once Hansen had determined that everything was all right, I heard him step forward.
Come in!
Hansen offered, and then I heard the sounds of footsteps followed by a closing door. I slowly snuck back around the corner and then slunk down the way until I was right at Hansen's door. Once I got there, I sat down on the floor, pulled out some random textbook I'd stolen from Janine, and then tried to blend in. Meanwhile, my super hearing picked up Janine and Hansen's footsteps just before they came to an abrupt halt.
Thank you?
Janine's muffled voice said.
So, I got your email last night, Dr. Hansen, and I was really confused. What's wrong with Carter, and why do you think I'm in danger?
Well, this is a bit of a humorous irony, considering your thesis topic.
Hansen admitted with a chuckle, but then he went dead silent and cleared his throat.
Carter Hatfield is a werepanther.
Well, the cat was definitely out of the bag then. A beat of silence passed, and I wondered how Janine was going to play this.
What? I think I would know a werepanther when I see one, Dr. Hansen.
I know this is hard to believe, but you need to listen to me. Thanks to your studies, you know all about what werepanthers are capable of. If I'm correct, and Carter is one, then perhaps it's not the wisest idea to continue to hang around him.
I think you're being paranoid, Dr. Hansen. Carter would never do anything to hurt me, even if he was a werepanther in disguise.
Please don't ever call me paranoid, Miss Beckett.
Hansen said in an uncharacteristically stern voice.
I get enough of that from my colleagues, and the last thing I need is to receive such ridicule from the girl I see as my own understudy.
I'm sorry.
Janine apologized in a somber tone.
I know what it's like to be called paranoid and loony and even just plain insane for what we're studying. I should have known better.
It's all right, Janine. I only tell you this because I don't wish for you to get hurt.
Carter wouldn't hurt me, Dr. Hansen.
The redhead argued.
You know I trust you and think you're the most brilliant paranormal archaeologist in the world, but you're dead wrong on this one.
Janine.
Hansen trailed off.
You are doing your thesis paper on these creatures. Surely you've read the account of the werepanthers in ancient Egypt, right? Where they went around slaughtering half a village at night?
They were only killing the followers of Khonsu, a.k.a. the people who wished Bast's followers dead in the first place. That's a bad example because it was simply a preemptive strike against an enemy.
And you think Carter won't consider you an enemy?
Hansen asked with a scoff.
Do you know how many paranormal creatures have tried to kill me, Janine? Just about every single one I've studied.
I heard Janine's heartbeat start to quicken, and I felt the adrenaline start to rush through my body as I tried to make sense of the professor's words.
What are you talking about? You've actually encountered paranormal creatures before? I thought all your research was through interviews and written work and digging up artifacts.
I'm afraid I haven't been exactly honest with you either, Janine. I suppose Mr. Hatfield and I have that in common. I certainly do my research through all of those methods you just mentioned, for sure. But I also do a lot of field research.
I thought that was just going out doing legend tripping and trying to find evidence of these creatures.
It is. But in my experience, most of these creatures don't like it when humans start sniffing around too closely. I've had my fair share of close calls, from a Bigfoot out in the Pacific Northwest to the Beast of Exmoor when I was in England, to a Wampus cat down in South Carolina.
Holy fuck. I never would have guessed Dr. Hansen was the cryptid equivalent of Indiana Jones, yet here we are.
That doesn't make any sense, Professor. Why would you keep this from your students? You've witnessed concrete evidence of the paranormal firsthand.
Because, Miss Beckett.
Hansen trailed off, and his tone took a sad turn.
Look at where it's got me. My colleagues all think I'm crazy, as do half of the students on campus. I can't get anyone outside of the occasional niche journal or a popular entertainment press to publish my work. I've never been able to hold down a steady relationship with a woman once they find out what I do for a living either. I'm in my 50s, and I'm all alone. And it's all thanks to the things I've dedicated my life to studying. And you wonder why I wouldn't go around telling everyone I've actually met Bigfoot.
Jesus.
Janine said with a gulp.
I had no idea. For the record, Doc, I would have believed you.
I know you would have, Janine. But this is exactly why I didn't tell you. I knew if I did, then you'd go around telling everyone else, and then you'd be looked at as even more of a nutjob. I withheld the information to protect you, Janine, but I'm afraid I can't hold it back anymore. Kara Hatfield is dangerous.
He's not. He loves me.
The human might love you,
Hansen warned.
But the werepanther is an unpredictable creature driven only by his desire to meet the four F's of survival. Feeding, fighting, fleeing, and fornicating. The second that werepanther isn't satisfied with one of those elements in his life, he goes mad with rage. And anyone caught in the crossfire will be very, very sorry.
No way! Carter has never once shown even the slightest hint of violent tendencies.
Well, that was a straight-up lie. I'd been plenty violent with the OLG and their lackeys, but I suppose the point still stood. I was in full control of my werepanther abilities, but she couldn't really tell Hansen that without spilling the beans completely.
I hate to be the one to tell you this, Janine, but Mr. Hatfield already has gone mad. And I fear he has already killed someone.
What? What are you talking about, Dr. Hansen?
Seriously, what was he talking about? I'd killed plenty of OLG cultists and witches, but they all had it coming. Plus, we'd been very careful to always dispose of the bodies once the fight was over. Thankfully, Janine and I were on the same page, mentally.
Were they worshippers of Khonsu? Based on everything I found in my research, they were the natural enemies of the werepanthers, and I know they still have sects of their cult around today.
Oh, there have certainly been an influx of Khonsu cultist deaths around here recently. That's what first alerted me to your boyfriend's condition. Well, that, and his piercing green eyes and thick black hair. That's almost always a dead giveaway of werepantherism.
Okay, so a bunch of cultists died. So what? Isn't one of the first rules of anthropology and archaeology to not interfere with cultural conflicts? We're just supposed to sit back and study their plights.
I've taught you too well, Janine. If this were simply an extension of the battle between Khonsu and Bast, I wouldn't care at all. But it appears innocents are starting to get caught in the crossfire, which is something I will not stand for at all.
What? Nobody we'd killed so far had been innocent in the slightest, since we'd only fought against people who were actively trying to kill us.
I'm gonna need a bit more elaboration, Doc.
They found the body in the forest, Janine. Up on the northwest side of campus. A jogger. The police report claims the body was thrown through multiple trees before it was ripped in half. And the poor man's innards were thought to have been devoured. And the official autopsy is pending, but the police report says they thought it was one of Ohio's rare bear attacks, or perhaps a large rabid dog. Now, you and I both know what is much more likely.
Carter was with me last night.
Janine lied.
So it definitely couldn't have been him.
The body was just found today. I know this is hard for you to hear, Janine, but I wouldn't be telling you if I didn't think you were in danger.
I appreciate the concern.
Janine huffed, and then I heard a chair slide gently across the floor.
I promise I'll keep an eye out for any signs of danger, but I know it's not him. In fact, I don't even think he's a werepanther, if we're being honest.
That's terrible about the body, though. I hope they find whoever did it and bring them to justice.
That is what I'm trying to do. But if this is really a werepanther, I can't handle him alone. I need somebody like you on my side if we want to stand any sort of chance.
Okay, Doc.
Janine grumbled.
Let's say you're right, and Carter really is a werepanther and killed the man out in the forest. Do you really think I'd act as your double agent and go behind the back of the man who's been nothing but good to me?
Attagirl, Janine.
No, I don't think you would. But I did assume you would tell him and that he would want to come along so we could eavesdrop on our conversation, which is why I've enchanted this entire hallway with a Bastion Entrapment spell.
Bastion Entrapment spell? Huh. That didn't sound good.
He's not out there,
Janine said with a firm huff.
I promise I came alone.
No, you didn't,
Hansen said nonchalantly.
I know how werepanther minds work. He sees me as a threat to his livelihood. So even if he didn't come here with the intent to hurt me, he still wants to figure out what's going on. I hope you got all of that, Mr. Hatfield.
Fuck. I needed to get out of here before he opened the door. Thankfully, my padfoot magic would allow me to slink away without making any noise. So I went to stand up from my seated position and get the fuck away before... God, son of a bitch. I muttered to myself as I tried to stand. My ass and the soles of my feet were stuck to the floor. When I tried to pull away, the floor underneath simply lit up with a dark red glow, and then I was pulled back down against it. Guess I knew what a bastion entrapment spell was.
He's not out there, Doc!
I heard Janine declare, as two sets of footsteps approached. I tried again, and this time the wood underneath the shaggy old carpet groaned at my attempt, but I still didn't go anywhere. Then the door of Hansen's office creaked open, and the stout professor stepped out into the hallway. His mouth was twisted into a stern frown, and his burly jowls jiggled as he shook his head and let out a long, deep sigh.
Oh, hey, Dr. Hansen!
I said in the fakest tone I could muster.
What's up? Janine said she had a meeting with you today, so I figured I'd just hang out in the hallway and study.
You can cut the charade, Mr. Hatfield,
Hansen said as he crossed his arms across his tweed-covered vest.
I know you hide everything in there, and I know your secret. Also, I know you are currently trapped in the enchantment I placed on this hallway. The one that is specific only to one type of creature.
I know. I'm a party animal. But I wouldn't say I'm a different type of creature.
I know you're a werepanther, Mr. Hatfield.
Hansen frowned.
And I know you killed that innocent man. Now, the only question is what I'm going to actually do about it.